The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Drew McIntyre, the Scottish psychopath. And I'm telling every one of you to get up, show me fight, and listen to Turnbuckle Tabloid before I claymore you in the face. Download, stream, and subscribe, and follow us on all social media outlets. Turnbuckle Tabloid, check it out. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Jimmy Santa, host of a podcast you wanted, killing mother horses, podcast you want is a bosses, talking some shit every week, you loving the shit and you want it, talking about sports and we're having very fun and we own it. Jimmy Chonga, you bought it, you eat it, you're hungry, eat it every morning, for lunch, for dinner, you want it, put sour cream up on it, you want it, you eat it, you're hungry, eat it in the morning. For lunch, for dinner, you want it.
Give me a fucking mic!
Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
Man, you know, with the turning of the year...
Wow, you sound excited.
I mean, how can I not? Because with the turning of the year, with all the greatness that came with 2021, I mean, look, we have... everyone's healthy. We had a presidency that's been so out of the stratosphere. Great. We've come from an economy that was so terrible 10, 12 years ago for it to be booming. And, you know, the employment rate is like 12% higher than it's ever been ever. Why would I not be happy with what's going on here? Oh, wait, that's me coming out of fucking Alice in Wonderland world and realizing, no, it's been shit. So
okay, before we get into this, I got to ask, was 2020 the worst year of all time?
I thought the year.
And not even in general, I'm talking about wrestling as well. I think wrestling for sure.
And I was going to say, I thought the year that led up to the breakup of my family, meaning my daughter's mother and I breaking up and stuff, was probably my worst year. And I've had, you know, grandparents dying for the year of 9/11. Shit, you know, those were some horrible. There was eras to where I was out of work and I was a stay-at-home dad. And although I was spending time with my child, I didn't feel like a man. I was emasculating. I was a fucking round-the-clock alcoholic and shit like that. I thought those were the worst of times. But God, when you want to talk about the fucking Academy Award of years of how horrible things could be, 2020 was bad, man. It was. And I'll give a quick gist of what it was. Okay, luckily for me, being an essential worker and the job that I did, I didn't lose work, so that was good. I was consistently working, but you know, you get into a certain groove when it came to how your finances were getting, relationships with people, possibilities of new kind of connections and
love, you know, romance,
you know, that stuff. It's all there. It's
black and white, clear as crystal.
It's festering. It's there. And then COVID hits and it goes, yeah, you can't see this person no more. You can't spend money here no more. You can't do the shit. You can't go on the vacations you want anymore. You can't hang out with the peoples that you wanted to. It fucked your whole world up, man.
It was a tornado, bro.
It was a festering of bullshit, man. It just said, you know what? Your life was too good. You know what? Let me give you a little bit of this pandemic going on here. Let me give you a fucking stupid ass president here.
People told me that 2020 was God just telling us to stop being comfortable.
Comfortable in the fact that
stop taking things for granted.
You would think that it was also a thing to where that some karma or something said that America, you guys are too full of yourselves. But you would think that we sat there and would have learned from this.
No, of course not.
No, why would we? No.
People actually got worse. It's funny because 2020 started off bad with Kobe Bryant's death. Yeah. Then we went right into COVID.
It's funny because the anniversary is this week.
Kobe. Yep.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I just want to point out because you know we're media and everybody's out there media. If there's any sports podcasts out there, yeah. Kobe Bryant's widow literally just posted online, did not post any pictures or things from that day. So please be respectful. Thank you.
Yeah,
don't be a fucking twat.
Oh, they're going to do it anyway.
Of course they are, but don't be a dick. If you're listening to our show and you have your own podcast, your own media site, just don't do that. Talk about his amazing career, man. That's it.
But you know, that crept in. It was funny because I remember that day happening. Yep. Woke up to the news story. And I go, what? And then like a week later, you start hearing COVID is starting to hit the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and I was like, no way it's coming here.
Yeah,
it's
get just the fuck out. It ain't going to hit these shores. You crazy? And then boom. Welcome to 2020, motherfuckers. Shit.
And you know what the worst part about 2020 was? I spent the first day with my ex.
Yay!
Exactly. So that year was terrible. It was an awful 2020. It personally and in wrestling. I mean, let's just be honest. It's sad that the highlights of 2020 was the Boneyard match, and nothing taking away from that. But it's just like, oof,
oof,
we're pulling strings here, ladies and gentlemen. Like, you know, it's bad when you pull out cinematic matches as like the match of the year. Like, I'm sorry, it's getting to a dark place. But thankfully, WrestleMania has been announced for the next. Which, by the way, you saw a picture I sent you, right?
Yeah.
They announced WrestleMania in Tampa, then Texas, and then LA. And it's funny because if you go on the COVID list, who has the most cases? Those three are the top three.
Yeah, but you're hoping by that time it's already. Like...
Yeah, but think about this: like, who blew? Like the people who worked at WWE have to do research on these things to make that big decision, right?
Right.
You wouldn't think like, hey, let's go to the bottom of the list. like, let's go to the top three. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, I would have, you know, my thought process would have been, let's start small. You know, let's do like how WWE did like years ago where they were in smaller venues and shit like that. Like, let's start small.
Let's have WrestleMania in the Poconos.
Yeah. Let's start it in fucking Christ the King's gym. Let's do it.
Yo, honestly though, that would actually be pretty fire.
No, you know, but their whole idea is that they got to get revenue back. Is like, let's be honest here. You're really You're in the black. You're making money. You don't need it.
You're making profit. You don't need it. Right now you're laughing. You're just mad you're not making more profit than you have in the past. It's like you're still making profit, dickwads.
Listen, I know they're going to go to Tampa this year, right? And because the first thing that jumped out of them was like, wait a minute, what? The NFL is taking – they're getting – wait, what? They're getting an attendance? The fans are there? All right, fuck it. Which – it's fine. I mean,
we're gonna see fans at WrestleMania. If NFL could do it, we're gonna see fans this year.
Like we've been saying for the longest, Florida moved they move different. Like if
they move Trump kind of different.
Yeah, they move way different. If they wanted to, they'd be like, yo, y'all can sit next to each other and y'all can even fucking eat the same hot dog. I don't give a fuck.
Well,
well,
people are sharing Disney ice cream cones in Disney right now.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, you know, the double cone fucking ice cream where everybody's, it's like two cones and everybody.
No, it's the Mickey ice cream bar where one person takes an ear. one person bites an ear and you share it.
Yeah, Florida moves way different. They're like the rejects of fucking the United States, bro. They don't give
a fuck. I'm not gonna lie though. Do yourself this torturous favor. We're talking about 2020 and like the future to come. Do yourself a favor. Go back to watch the last WrestleMania we watched, and I want you to look at how sad. Because you know what I think about it. Because like you know back then, like when it was like COVID was at its peak, so we were like, okay, this is just what it is. Now that like we're kind of like. Things are starting to roll a little bit. You look back at the WrestleMania where Drew McIntyre fought Brock Lesnar, and you're like, this is the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life.
All right, let me ask you this, because you and I are sports fans, right? When you watched baseball come back with no fans, was there a difference for you?
Yeah.
Really?
For me, it automatically said, this is a scrimmage. I miss the fan reactions. I miss... like the crowd, the chants. Because think about it, like in baseball, like when you strike someone out, that hype from the crowd kind of gains that momentum. Yeah, like the crowd has a lot to do with sports. I mean, NBA is smart though, because NBA keeps the camera right on the court, and they could get away with that because it would still look legit because they're back in the arenas. They're in Madison Square Garden. They're in the arenas. They're just missing the fans.
Right.
Baseball, like I said. I love going to Met games, so of course I miss it, and it makes a difference in terms of the momentum, but
okay,
it wasn't a deal breaker for me.
You're right, because with baseball is like this, so many gaps in action.
Whereas, so you need those dent. You need those fucking sound bites. You need the people getting hyped.
You're talking about sound bites, but it's not fans. I'm talking about.
But if you play the soundbite, all the crowd goes charge, or they fucking go, let's go Mets.
See,
that usually causes an eruption of momentum. That makes a difference in a game.
But like for me, when it came to sports, I didn't miss it. I didn't really care. It wasn't
a deal breaker for me. I'm still enjoying the NBA. I'm watching the Suns and the Grizzlies right now.
But wrestling to me, it was different. It was different when the 100%. Fans,
big time.
Yeah,
oh.
I can get.
You heard a pin drop.
Yeah, but you know when it comes to WWE, I think I mentioned it in an early episode. Is that they need to mic the fucking rings?
They do. They clearly mic the floor because I think one of the highlights of 2020 was. Montez Ford going WrestleMania, and then because there was no audience, you heard it loud. My son went front flip. It was loud as fuck. Like he broke his back.
How about does AEW mic their ring? Do they mic the?
I don't know the top of my head, but we can find out.
Yeah, we have to check that.
I think especially now with no audience, you need to, right? I mean, make the moves more impactful, make them sound more legit.
Yeah, that's always the best thing when we went to indie shows was to hear the ring when somebody slammed on it, boom. You want to hear that?
Well, dude, when we went to NXT TakeOver, we were in the rafters, literally the last row, and we still fucking heard that loud-ass bomb.
And that's weird that NXT did it and... they don't do it anywhere else. And that's the other thing, too, that we missed in 2020 was going to these events. Not even just the WWE, AEW.
House
kind
of Glory, man. ICW.
The indie shows, ICWs, the even if we went to BCW, whatever it was whatever fucking indie show was there. I missed
the Elks Lodge so much. And you know, my mom brought it up to me today. My mom was like, Matt, don't you miss going to those shows with Red? I'm like, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I will never take an indie show for granted again. I feel like Red, every time there's going to be an indie show, you're going to take off of work now because you're like, I'm never taking this for granted.
Yeah, for real. I got to find a way to get to it.
because I'm not taking the Knicks for granted. Except that is,
if it's in the Bronx, I'm not going. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, well, Bronx is the nowhere. I'm not
Ixnay
going there.
On the Bronx name. I'm not doing that shit.
I'm not trying to get shanked. I mean,
not even worried about that. It's just too far. I'm not worried about fucking somebody suppressing me. It's just about
the Bronx
me.
Is interesting too.
That shit. The Bronx is like going to Poughkeepsie. I'm not going up that way. It's like going to Albany. It's too much for me. Fuck that. I'm not doing that shit.
But I do miss the Elks Lodge nights where you usually were halfway through the show, I'll be right back. And then you come back like at the end of the show, you're like, and I screwed up with one of these top red. Never saw you again. But you came back with good news because usually you'd be gone because you're talking to a town at the bar and you tell me the story. Which, by the way, next time I got to pull up a seat on the bar.
I tell you, that's where I start working the crowd or the talent. I already know what my cue is. It's like, all right, sit your ass here, do the rundown, get a feel of the show so we can review it later. And then,
I don't go with you because sometimes I feel like they look at me and they're like, okay, this is a sporty kid who wants my autograph compared to you, where it's like, okay, this dude wants to talk business. Like if you walk up to Jeff Cobb, right? And you go, okay, like what, and you guys talk business. I feel like he can look at you and go, all right, this dude knows what he's talking about. This dude has experience. He sees me and goes, look at this little white kid who wants an autograph.
What that has nothing to do with your appearance. That's just how you fucking you got to know how to fucking finesse it, man. It's when
I look like a typical white boy.
No, because I'll give you a quick tip right now, right? Just because how you look, like you see Jeff Cobb at the bar, right? You ask, you look at me, hey, how you doing, Jeff? Love your work. And he says, hey, thanks a lot, man. And you go, hey, what are you drinking? And he'll tell you fucking rum and coke, a beer, or a fucking lemon spritzer, or whatever the case may be. Like,
what did he have? Do you remember his drink?
No, I don't. I barely remember what the
clam
fuck.
Clam juice.
I remember what the fuck I had for dinner yesterday. What the fuck are you talking about?
So, clam juice. Yeah, clam water.
So he is like a fucking What is it? A Bloody Mary with no bloody in it. I don't know what the fuck he had.
Bloody Mary with no blood.
You know, I go to him and say, what are you having? He goes, you know, I'll have a rum and coke. All right, get him a rum and coke. Oh, no, you know, you don't have to. No, that's cool. Thanks. All right. By the way, your match you just had was tonight. Tonight was crazy. Oh, thanks, bro. That's how you start.
Right.
It's not about the appearance. It's how you sell yourself to them.
Right, and it's like Shark Tank. The first 10 seconds is very vital. Yeah, if you come up with a mark, you're fucked.
But if you buy them a drink, whatever the case may be, that's just what it is, man. That's how you start shit, bro.
Who was the one person in 2020 that you wish you had a sit down conversation at an Elks Lodge, like indie wise?
Eddie Kingston. Wish I would have got Eddie Kingston.
That's actually
really cool. My god, and it's crazy.
Right before his stardom.
And to this day, I feel that I could have gotten him, and even now with the connections that we have now, we could probably still maybe get him, but it's going to be probably tougher to get him. But I've always sat there and said, he's the one I wanted to get for the longest fucking time.
Eddie Kingston. I feel like you and him would have a fucking conversation for hours.
And then after I heard oral sessions with Renee, I was like, fuck, I know that we would have had a better conversation.
Of course,
I know that
because,
shit.
Of course, because didn't he live in your hood?
No, he lived in New York City. He was
I thought he lived in your neighborhood.
No. Homicide lived in my neighborhood. Homicide and I lived like maybe half a mile away, went to the same high school and shit. But Eddie Kingston he's right there. And even in Renee's podcast, he sat there and he says, Homicide is his best friend. And I'm like, fuck, we can get him. There's a connection.
Make it work.
But that's probably the one, I think the big fish that got away. He's my next white whale. Cause my white whale, when I started the podcast and when it came to wrestling, was Amazing Red, because he never does podcasts. He doesn't do it. And we got him, episode one. But
that was
now
awesome.
Eddie Kingston is my next white whale. That's my next one.
Well, that would be outstanding.
Right.
Yeah, that's doable.
The biggest one ever is fucking, of course,
Paul Heyman.
Of course. That's God, the fucking conversation I'll have with that. That's dream. But
yeah,
white whales, that's
Howard Stern, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like obtainable.
Eddie Kingston.
That's White Whale. Is that Eddie, right now it's Eddie Kingston, yeah.
For me, you know.
Who's your White Whale that you would love to talk to?
Oh, come on, man. Is that a hard question?
Yeah.
Take a guess. Who do you think my White Whale is? You have three chance. You have three choices.
No. Nah.
You have three chances. Go ahead. Based on who my favorite wrestlers are, who do you think I would love to have conversation with?
No, I'm talking about obtainable. I'm not talking about, because like, I would think about Drew McIntyre. Obtainable? Yeah, obtainable. That's what a White Whale is. Obtainable, that it's just difficult to get.
Obtainable? Who's doable?
Yes.
I truly think MJF is doable still.
Think so?
I think MJF is still doable.
Hmm. With his $500 cameo?
Honestly, though, if MJF was $500, honestly, bro, I don't know. I might have to pay that.
That would be interesting.
MJF is $500. You're telling me you wouldn't go 200, 300? You wouldn't do 250 each?
I don't
come
know.
Come on, son.
I don't know. That
for like an hour? And he drops a come
if
on.
If he could give an hour, maybe.
I want you to think about that. I
never want to pay anybody for shit.
Yeah, but MJF is kind of like, think about it this way. If we,
I didn't
want to
pay $250 for fucking for Leo Rush. Are you kidding me? I didn't want to pay $200 for Leo Rush.
But what about MJF? $250 a piece. You wouldn't do it with an hour with he would do a he would do an ID drop. He would do a commercial, and he would
if you would do the research and find that and find out, go through his cameo and find out that if he would do it for $250 a piece, I might be on board for that. I might be.
I would do it
for.
I wouldn't even hesitate.
I want a 30-minute.
Yeah, but I want MJ. I don't want MJF. Like I'm tired MJF. Like if I'm paying money, I want MJF like on his game. I'm not paying for that bullshit.
No, I would take whatever MJF, as long as he's fucking he fucking is on and he does him. And but I don't think he does tired. Whatever. He, shitty. He's always going to be on. He's gimmick all day. I want the promo.
He's the only exception that I will keep his gimmick on the show. I don't care. Like,
keep it on. No, I think I might pay.
I already know what you would tell him. You'd be like, "Yo, why'd they put you in Inner Circle, dog? Honestly, tell me the bullshit behind that."
No, there's more to that. Because I know some things about him from other wrestlers. So I would ask him deep cup shit. He's a New York guy, so he's been in the
obtainable,
New York.
Obtainable, and I think it's obtainable because he's so young. I think AEW would promote him being on a show from New York, like to branch out more. I think that's doable.
300, like 500 for 30 minutes, and for ID and all the.
See, but we could milk that 30 minutes to an hour, though.
We know how we do. But with the accoutrements, yeah, I think we do. I think it happened.
MJF's obtainable. He's my white whale. But then also, I guess I would love to have a conversation with Mick Foley.
He's another one. We're gonna have to pay for.
I know. I really don't care. No one else kind of like woos me where it's like I in the indies right now where it's like oof okay. I want to talk to you,
Ethan Page.
Ethan Page is up. Yeah, definitely. He's a great. Like I said, I've seen him from All Ego. We've seen him from All Ego. Ethan Page. Right. So, I mean, that'll be a good one. Who's an impact that I would talk to?
How about Blake Christensen?
We haven't had him yet. Oh yeah, yeah, Blake Christensen is also one that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. This year I'm gonna try to get a. One big guy that I want to have a talk with for sure. What do you think about hitting up Leo Rush again to see if he lowered his price?
Or maybe let's see if the connects could get us into that. Let's see.
And now this is what I'm saying. If we have the connects, if the connects go through, which I'm surprised you have not hit up Homicide yet and been like, yo, bro, like I know this is bullshit, but like I know you don't want to do it.
Nah. I really don't like doing that. Getting him is great because every time he comes on the show, it's fucking magic. So I don't really ask him for favors like that.
No, yeah, no, I agree.
But these, like I said, these are also people that, although like you know, they're, let's say a guy like Homicide or someone else is, I do check-ins with these guys. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll give you another one that I would love to have on the show, which we might have a connect for is. Alexander Hammerstone.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Hammerstone would be a good interview.
Fatu.
That'd be bananas.
Yeah.
We might have a connect there, so.
That's what I'm saying. So, like.
That's possible.
Those are white whales as well. Right? That we could probably talk to get.
But our podcast, you know, it always gets better. We always grow. So unfortunately, the wrestling world is just getting worse and worse for me. Like you said wrestling. We said it in Around the Square Circle this week. You said it's trash. You said that it was painful to watch.
So painful to watch. All right. So which leads to the conversation to why we're saying what we're saying is because, for 2021, what we want for Cutting a Promo is basically what we want for, I guess, not a resolution. It's just what we fucking the hope for our future for the show and for wrestling. And God, 2020 was bad, but not in the sense to where that we didn't grow as a podcast. You know what I'm saying? 2020 was a great year for us because while everybody was dealing with this pandemic and they stood home and they was wondering what the fuck they were going to do, we gained from that because people wanted to listen to stuff. They wanted to hear people's opinions, news stories, conversations, interviews, and a lot of the wrestlers were at home. So we had great conversations with people for the show, and we got a lot of download streams. Numbers went up immensely this past year.
A lot of people are home. I expect a lot more ears and eyes.
And they heard the shit that we were talking. And the great thing about that is that we talked that New York City grittiness. And you know, to be honest, like, we really don't give a fuck if you like us or not. It's just
I like keeping it real.
Yeah, keep it a buck, man. Listen, you know, your opinion is great. My opinion is great. Their opinion is great as well. But you know, at the end of the day, I thrive on the fact that we don't kowtow and bow to anybody's shit. And this is what I tell you.
Never will, fam.
When it came to the, especially with the past year when we took the political shit at times, you know, a lot of wrestling fans, I know a lot of them loved their president. They're from the red states and stuff. But, you know, we kept it a buck. But we got a lot of overseas love and a lot of people who appreciated our honesty, and that's what it was, regardless of...
Honesty is the best policy.
It should be. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the curse of why we won't excel anywhere else. We're going to be stuck here, bro.
Let me ask you this question right now.
Right.
If a company came up to us and said, we want to buy your show, but you have to kiss ass... I mean, like, in terms of, like, you have to do ads, you have to kiss people's asses, you have to have a positive outlook on everything. Would you do it?
Which means you're asking me would I sell my soul to the devil?
basically, yeah.
Yes.
Like, you have that pride that we don't kiss ass, but, like, if a company legit, like...
I mean, listen, let me tell you something. I make X amount of dollars a year. You make X amount of dollars a year, right?
Yeah.
If somebody told me that I can make 50% more on my salary, like you are, like what somebody told Nickum, you could make 50% more on what you're making right now. Would you change your style?
I would for this.
Yeah.
I would 180% this. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? I would post 80 times on Twitter a day. I would do polls every fucking. I'd do the poll of the day. I would kiss everyone's ass.
Which means it's telling me that I don't have to go. I don't have to leave my house to work.
This becomes my job.
Yeah, this is my job.
Right. Yeah, I'll do it. The hell. Absolutely. But that does include research. That includes, you
right.
know.
I have to power work. Oh, hold on a second. Yeah. Because it's crazy. So honestly, look, yeah, they'd be like, you a sellout. Motherfucker, you fucking right I'm going to sell out. If I can make 50% more than what I'm doing at my job now, fuck yeah.
That's easy. Yeah. I feel like that's an easy decision to make. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's a no-brainer, dog. Like, come on. We get to do this, and people go, well, you're selling out or whatever. But what's the parameters? We can't cuss? Okay, I can do a show without cussing.
Oh, my God. One day you're going to get mad hood and go, yeah, what's up, N-word? It's like, oh, no, and we're done.
No, you are the one that's more N-word than me. So let's be
for real. That's not true. I haven't said the N-word on this show in months.
Not true.
Not ER. I'm talking New York slang. A. Okay. You said it last week. Play it back.
No. I said it. I said it last week due to context of the subject. You say because it's in your vernacular. And believe me, I have individuals who listen to the show who always call you out on your shit. I know
name
when
him,
you
name them. Name them.
Name what?
Who calls me out on it?
Why is that necessary?
It's necessary. Name them. Name them. Who talks shit behind my back? Go ahead, name them.
Joe Schmo from Idaho. What the fuck? There's okay, people who
I already know who it is. Angel? Angel? I know you're listening right now, man. Watch your mouth.
I'm just saying that I say it in context.
I haven't said it in months.
Oh, okay.
Fuck out of here. I haven't said it
and
in
I
months.
Swear to you, once I this episode drops, that word. People are going to come to me and is like, no, Matt has said it on this episode.
Okay, people. I thought we were family, right, Red? Who's saying it?
They're listeners.
We no. I thought we were. No,
why do you
listeners.
Care? You
it's
do not, say it.
See, but you know, now you're gonna throw them into the listener category. You know, they're close friends of both of us.
How about if we sit there and how about the times when you do go off on your rant and you go, oh, then this end we're and we don't have to cover it up. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but I'm
that was
I'm
in
perfect,
months.
But okay, but now I care about who says that shit. Who is it?
That
who
is not it? The topic of the subject, sir. Stop it. Stop
all right.
it.
All right. You know what? Bury it. What these mics go off, you're telling me or else I'm fucking done with the show. I quit. I'm done. Fuck out of here. And you know what? The person who does tell Red this shit, I have a Facebook Messenger DM, right? Text me yourselves, you fuckers. Anyway, who do you want to see in 2021?
But you have said it. You've dropped it more than I have.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, Red, listen, man. I have not. I know. I can.
You know how you
money.
Know you're guilty.
Bet,
you know. You know how you know you're guilty.
I can bet shillings that I haven't said it in months.
You know how you. You know how you know you're guilty. It's because you had to cover yourself by saying it's not the ER, it's the New York A.
No, because for new listeners out there, when I say the we said the N word, I'm like no, I need to point out that it's not the racial slur, it's the New York vocabulary.
It's how we address every dude. Every dude is.
It's how I call my oc. I call my oc. My fucking my barber.
You call me that.
It's just. A universal word over here in New York, but I don't say it on the show anymore.
You slipped.
Okay,
a few times.
So you know what? I'm gonna go down the list. It's either Rondo, Ben, Marco, Hank, little bit, Henry. It's any of you fuckers, right? My DMs
wow.
are open.
Wow, you're really pining on. Listen, for 2021, yep. What you should do is one of your thoughts about is not say it.
I haven't said it in months, and I could bet shillings on that.
All right, you are so wow. I didn't know that would hit a nerve. Shit.
No, it's a nerve that people tell you, but don't come to me and tell me that I say that word. That's Nothing's worse than my Jewish slur that I said about a year ago.
That
was I had to talk to the boss about that
what
one.
What are you talking about? Kike Kikeman? That's what you're talking about. Whoa!
Rich, I know you're listening to this. You better talk to him about that.
Listen, but like I said, context. It's all about the context in which I said it. All right.
Anyway.
All right. So here's one of my rundowns for 2021 that I need to change up and get onto. I need to start watching different promotions, man. Again, I can't do this. I know 2020 we were limited because everybody was shut down, but God, I can't do this WWE AEW isolated fucking sketch comedy show anymore. I can't. I need to get back to the Ring of Honors. I got to get back to the MLWs. I got to get back to New Japan's.
I agree. The first thing on my list, I guess we could talk together, is like less talk shows.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do this anymore. We need to review more, even if it's in the slightest, even if it's bringing in other analytical individuals who watch those shows more. I can't deal with these two mainstream shows gaining attentions and garnering fucking clout with these bullshit ass fucking comedy sketches. I'm done with this. I want to watch wrestling. I want to watch a show where the opening of it is not a fucking talk show or a six-man goofy tag. I'm tired of it. I want to watch wrestling, damn it.
Right. I think that's the main problem with wrestling today, these wrestling shows. Like, Raw's about to be on in 20 minutes. How much you want to bet it's going to start off with a fucking talk show? You are supposed to grab the viewer, the viewer in the first... What did you say, Red? You said what? The first 5 to 10 minutes,
right?
What's the time you told me that it takes for someone to be like
three
interested
to five,
in something?
Three to five minutes. If a person is not grabbing,
so think about
the boys, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen season 2 yet.
No, but I'm talking about the first season, right?
Yeah,
episode 1. If you haven't watched it by now, and you're your first time listening, whatever the case may be. If so, then fuck you. You know, it's a spoiler.
Fast forward for 10 seconds. I know exactly where you're going.
It's a spoiler. Once Homegirl got boomed by Homeboy, it was like, holy shit! I gotta watch this shit. And that was in the first five
it
minutes.
Got you hooked in the first 5 minutes.
First five minutes. So that's how it happened.
That's how you're supposed to TV, and that's how TV is supposed to be done. And for instance, we're on Raw, right? Think about it. We start off with the first 3 to 5 minutes with Miz TV.
And
you're supposed to give me a highly athletic show. In the 90s, you would start off with a cruiserweight match because that would hook you.
And this is what we do, and what I try to do, what you try to do for every episode of the show, is that try to hook you in to a conversation the first 5 minutes, because you want to feel like you're walking into a conversation.
Yep.
And be a part of it. So that's what we do here.
Our bread and butter is talking. Wrestling, you should not be talking.
No, I want to see fucking what did I sign up for this? Oh, wrestling. That's what I want to see. Duh.
Like the perfect definition, like my dream Raw would be tonight to start off with Ricochet versus Mustafa Ali.
Right.
Start off with a match like that.
Start with fucking
Miz TV.
Yeah, or whatever fucking promo that should be cut right now. Randy Orton is gonna come out and fucking cut a promo.
And that's trash. Those promos are supposed to be like the cool off areas, like the bathroom break let me sit down and relax. And that's just unfortunate. Wrestling should always start off with a match. AEW, as much as we shit on them, they have been starting off with matches, and I got to give them credit on that. So I agree 100%. Less talk shows, more wrestling. I don't mind talk shows. I don't mind promos, but do those in the middle. They're supposed to be the cream of the Oreo cookie every once in a while, not 45 fucking times.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we get stuck with it because that's what we figure is the norm, and we shouldn't get stuck with it. That's just what the fuck it is. And we're like, no, why do I have to deal with this? Come on, guys. But
a waste of time.
WWE, AEW, Impact, they all fucking go through the same bullshit because it's like, what other shit are you watching? Fuck you. But with that, my other, with tying to that, with me wanting to see other promotions, I want to bring a lot of people with me to watch other promotions because it brings content to not only the show, but it also brings content to the group pages, the like pages, the Instagrams, right, the Twitters and stuff, because I want to bring a lot of people with me. I want people who have not watched the Ring of Honor, who have not watched the New Japan, and I want them to come in and be like, holy shit, there is something different outside of fucking WWE or outside of AEW. I want them to come in and have this conversation. And it came to light because someone came to me and was like, why is this so important that everybody's watching this Adam Pearce thing? And I said, well, because Adam Pearce was a four-time champion in new NWA, and he was a wrestler.
Unless you and went people, to those other avenues, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know, and I want people to be educated in that. If we do it via this show or we do it in our outside personal life, you'd be like, yo, you should watch this. And it's the same thing with goofy fucking wrestling shows that we watch, the indie shits, and which leads me to, God, I can't wait for indie shows to come back. God, I can't wait for these shits to come back. We need something to goof on.
Yeah, no, we do. We need these bad indie shows in Wancookama Bay, Ohio. Like, we didn't buy a ticket for this. Like, I remember there was a time where we had 1,000 viewers at 1 a.m. in the UK. I remember Menahan, bro.
Yeah.
It was the worst quality. There was
But can you imagine doing it now with us? It would be fucking great right now.
It would be amazing. But see, I want We Didn't Buy a Ticket for this to not just be on a Facebook thing. I want it to be like a segment on the show where we tell the person where to look up the video with us and then press play and then like, all right, let's watch this together and then fucking let's go through the shitty thing together.
Exactly. So that's another part of my thought about 2021 is we
people more interactive.
People call it watch alongs. We call it, we didn't buy a ticket for this. Then that's yep. that,
and,
that.
And for people who are new to the show, I kid you not, like back in Menahan, we legitimately got around 1,200 viewers watching that shit at 3 a.m.
Dumb shit.
Three in the morning in the darkness, watching crappy indie wrestling.
Off our shoulders. Because
and, that was, and that was before independent wrestling TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And we found them. We found them on YouTube. We made it work. So, yeah, I definitely want that as well for the next for the year.
The other one that I have on my list is got to get us more in a podcast game. Listen, like I said, we're goofy fucking wrestling fans who love to fucking do stupid shit and crack jokes about what the fuck is going on and, you know, give ourselves to the show. But for me, you got to play a little bit more of the podcast game, you know, go get the advertisers, go get the motherfucking, Go get more of a following, find a way to get more involved in other podcasts, see if we cross brand and shit like that. That's the goal to do. They got to play the game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Get a little bit more involved. Listen, we invested so much with microphones, the new mixers, the apps, the fucking programs. We invested in all that. It's like, you know what? Might as well play the game a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that.
Let's do a little bit more for that. The one thing that I said that I've always promoted when it came to individuals who ask about the show, what's the core of why you guys do this is because I always tell them there's the two retrospectives of what wrestling is. You get myself being the oldest, the elder statesman, and you get the young co-host who's on the know at the moment right now. And for me, it's like, we got to stay focus on what's happening on the now. And that's my, if there's any hiccup that I have for the show, for me, is because I don't like new shit because it's fucking awful. It's awful. It's God. And sometimes you even co-sign on it. It's like, God, what the fuck is wrong with this shit? But, you know.
I co-sign on what?
Oh, Jesus. Like, just like how.
What
wrestling? How wrestling isn't wrestling anymore. It's just different.
But I don't co-sign on all of it.
I'm not saying you do, not all of it.
There's some things that I find funny. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, the Britt Baker shit was okay for me.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You co-sign on that, but then when it comes to wrestling with no storyline, you're like, what the fuck? What are we watching?
Well, the fact that Darby Allin kicked out 8 times in a row pissed me off more than no one ever can imagine.
But your age range would think it's fucking amazing that it happened.
Nah, bro. No. He went through 4 tables and he kicks out at 1.
Yeah, but you know, that's what? One thing, you know. And plus, I for me, you know, especially when it comes to youthful thoughts, especially let me tell you something. Who else I listened to? Cody Rhodes, when he had his conversation with Jericho this past week, a week ago, he said Conan had always said that I always keep in touch and keep in tune with the youth because they are the ones that keep me progressive and keep me relevant in wrestling.
But the youth can also be uneducated and it can steer people the wrong way.
Yeah, but you think about it like this, though. But, you know, you think about the now. And Heyman said the same thing. But Heyman said, you got to listen to the music. Got to listen to what they're watching. Got to listen to what they're connected to. You can't say I posted on Twitter, and it's like, no, I tweeted on Twitter. You gotta know the word, the verbiage, the slang, the way that the youth is connected, because if not, then you're lost. And that's what happened with WWE. They don't get it. They get it a year later and they're outside of the fucking Thunderdome because they don't get it. You have to be on the now. That's what it is. You have to be on what's going on now.
Well, one of the things on my list that I have for what I want in 2021 is for sure, I want more believable storylines, and I want social media to be taken more seriously. In meaning, I want the wrestlers to have a wrestler page and a personal page. I don't want one for the same thing. Wrestling I love wrestling, but once social media came around, it kind of pulled the curtain even more. Why does Kevin Owens have a feud with Sami Zayn, and then you see a picture of them at Five Guys that same night? I mean, Red always makes the point, make two different accounts, and I kind of just want social media to be taken more seriously. I don't want these guys to be exposing the fucking storylines, because then I don't believe it. Like social media needs to be fixed in the wrestling world for sure. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I've always said that. You could listen, especially with the new story, which I'm probably gonna post for next week's episode. It's where Ryback sat there and just he's such a disgusting individual when it comes to wrestling. He's another one I'm going to put on the fucking blacklist. You can make wrestling seem like a sport. Make it seem like it's competitive.
Exactly. Like, talk trash on social media and make it like a Conor McGregor kind of thing where it's like, oh, shit, it's got personal.
Even with AEW, it's like, guys, you had the opportunity to fucking break the mold when it came to social media. But everybody, once again, does not want to be loved. Everybody does not want to have the clout. Everybody does not want to have this idea that we shouldn't be liked. It's like, at the end of the day, you guys, it doesn't matter. What matters is selling your fucking product. Sell the product.
Yep. Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't know. I feel like the toothpaste is out of the fucking tube. It's like, no, stupid. With this, You could put it right back if you fucking sold it properly.
Right.
But
social media bothers me. Like work the gimmick.
When you look at guys like Tommaso Ciampa who worked it, even like T-Bar, they're fucking goofy and shit, but they're working it. They're even fucking goofing on other promotions. Like they're working it. You know what I'm saying? Make it a fucking work. What's wrong with you guys?
Like how do you sleep at night knowing you just had a 5-star match with somebody because you hate his guts, and then you post a picture of you guys at Uba Duba?
Because what I really give a fuck is to see fucking a Walker with a fucking arrow in his head
taking a picture with Daryl.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Which, man? I've seen that. I've seen a few of those.
And it's like, why? What the fuck?
Some of the Walkers are like this. Like, peace up sign, and Daryl Dixon's like right next to him, like, let's get it.
And nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck. The only people that give a fuck is like, no one. But people are invested. But people are invested in wrestling. And that's, it was funny because I was just listening to the Broken Skull conversation with Bailey, and she was such a wrestling fan. She even wanted to emulate the Eddie Guerrero run in WCW where he wasn't happy, and that was her motivation for the heel Bailey. And you almost heard it between her and Stone Cold that they really didn't want to pull the curtain back too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because they respect the business.
As well as they should.
But everybody, I don't know. I, to me, I'm just hoping that the game changes when it comes to that. But other than that, lastly, I want to say is that for the show, I just want to bring more content, a different view of wrestling, add more individuals who will bring us a not only a following, but more fun. And I want to meet
new people in the podcast. Yeah. Like, though, that kind of
a fresh look to the podcast, you know what I'm
like
saying?
Just as I've met so many close friends in the Funko community, I want to meet new people in the podcast community.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be 5 years that we've been doing this shit. It's funny because I was just doing research for new stuff for the show, and I'm looking at it, and there was content from 2016, and I went, Jesus, really? I thought that shit was like yesterday.
I know, right?
What the fuck?
Well, think about it. We started the show in Menahan, then we went to the other shitty, the shit show.
But even watching the content, I thought the content was like yesterday that it happened. I'm like, what the fuck? This was 5 years ago.
I look back at my unboxing video for Wrestle Crate or whatever bullshit it is, and I'm like, wow, we've been doing it for this long.
Yeah. But
think about that. Think about that for a second, right? One of the first things that we did on Turbo Tabloid was you reviewed on YouTube Dean Ambrose's terrible interview with Stone Cold podcast.
Right. That's crazy, right?
How far ago is that? Like, what the that was when he was WWE champion.
Yeah, and I sit there and I said, you know what? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Always, bro. Always.
For what we're doing.
All it takes is one person to hear our show. Boom.
And even so, the moment where I said, I'm not doing this anymore, or you say that you're not doing this anymore, we'll go, okay, I think it might be time. But as for now,
I have no intentions of doing that.
I'm having a great time. And like I said,
I love doing the show, man.
It's a sprint for those who want to get on and fucking be popular and do it for the gram or do it for the book, whatever. But for us, it's... this is a marathon, man, because good things happen for those who wait, and I always believe that. So, anything on the other on your end to close this out with?
I'm just excited for 2021, man. Anything's better than 2020, so I'm excited to meet new people. I'm excited to interview new wrestlers, see new faces. Hopefully, we get back to indie wrestling by summer. we can go enjoy those shows again. And yeah, I love doing this show every week, and I'm excited to see what else we could do to entertain ya. And no, I don't say the N-word. And that's how I'll close it out.
All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to have more coming in now. We have Impact Brody stopping in. He's going to be discussing. He's going to be discussing. Discussing Hard to Kill. We're going to do a review with that. And also, what's his thoughts about the AEW Impact collaboration that's happening right now? And is it better or it's hurting the business? So don't go anywhere, guys. Stick around. We'll be back. Check you guys in a sec.
This is Impact Brody, and you listen to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Tune in each week. You know it.
So what do you think right now is the one thing that's hurting Impact for them to listen? Because the money's there. They've had the ups and downs when it came to the product and such. What's probably the one thing that's hurting the product right now?
I think it's the inability to retain the stars that they built. It's become a problem, you know. And I don't understand, because like you said, the money is there. That's without a doubt. You know what I mean? They paid for RVD. They paid definitely some other people, stuff like that. But it seems like they don't feel like the people that they made into big people are worth the money that I guess those talents believe. I mean, I don't know what the exchanges and the numbers that these people are going back into with each other with, because Ethan Page apparently didn't get the number that he had in his brain, you know, and Impact apparently, you know, didn't see him worth that much. And that's happened with quite a few people. It just happens all the time. When it comes to the show, they're putting on a pretty good, consistent product. I wish they would get rid of some of that silly shit, you know, like especially the bankroll shit. I don't know why that went on for so long, you know, and but that's it. You know, you got to be able to retain these bigger names that you're making. Well, I mean, they're not big names when they get there, but, you know, your situations such as, you know, Killer Cross, these types of situations, you want to be able to avoid that. You know, you want to avoid losing Johnny Impact when they lost. Yeah, you want to avoid losing Ethan Page, you know, and breaking up one of the best tag teams in professional wrestling in the North. You want to avoid losing Brian Cage. You want to avoid, you know, losing lots of, you know, talents that are going. So that's their issue, in my opinion, because I think what they're doing with the show is pretty decent. You know, they're doing some buzzworthy stuff, but there's still a lot of people that just won't give Impact a chance, and it's going to say a shit regardless of what they put on the television anyway.
Killer Cross was a big one that you mentioned. That was a big loss for them, though.
Fredo's been good and, you know, continue on and bringing more people in and stuff like that. I don't think that people have to necessarily bring in big names. I don't think that's a recipe to making a great wrestling company. AEW's bringing Tom, Dick, Harry, you know, Mo, Curly, and everybody else that they can bring in and give them a chance. So, you know, and they're doing pretty damn well. So, and Impact's been doing the same thing for a long time.
Yeah, I like the guys like Ace Austin. Oh, Ace Austin is their you know, pun intended, their ace in a hole. That guy is fucking phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? You got guys.
He's damn good.
Yeah, you got guys that they don't really need to be that outside signing to make them big. They, you know, they really, you know, even TJP, they brought him in on the low, and even him, he's a fucking work. Like that, he's a guy that brings that could bring wrestling back to what it is.
Great matches.
Willie Mack is another guy.
Yeah,
but to me,
he's just not very careful.
I think
was the number one guy to me. Moose was the number one guy.
Do you think he's progressed? You think he's made his way?
Fuck yes, absolutely.
He got a lot of shit for years, man. For years, Willie Mack got a lot of shit for his work, man.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Moose. Willie just got to learn how to, you know, get a character that's interesting. That's
no, Willie Mack is money. Like I've seen him for years, but I'm talking about Moose. Moose has gotten shit for years, man.
Well, yeah, because he didn't talk in ROH, and he didn't really have a character like him as a face. It really didn't translate well. When he turned heel and he started working on his character work hard in the last few months, he hasn't wrestled a lot of matches, but his character work has been phenomenal.
Was the big signing to be that AEW was the crutch to help him get over?
Yeah, that is absolutely what that is. I don't know if that's what the purpose of the whole partnership was. It was that. I don't think that was the purpose. I think it was just to kind of like mix things up, go at WWE, like you said, come together to make some, you know, really hot stuff. I'm going to throw this dry, sorry.
You good? You need a Sprite or some shit?
I need something. I'm looking at an old slushy over there, Michael Bear. But, it's definitely just, you know, to get good wrestling out. I don't think it was one of those things to where, you know, Don Callis has lots of great relationships in pro wrestling. Don't be surprised if something like that's happening. Impact in AEW have a lot of mutual people in wrestling that, you know, have crossed paths, and, you know, like with Bullet Club or with, you know, the Good Brothers and shit. Don Callis, of course, with all his connections and whatnot. And other certain talents and stuff like that. So it's something, I won't say it was bound to happen, but I don't think people should be surprised. It wasn't, without a doubt, I loved it when it came out, and I'm loving what's going on now because I think it's being done in good taste, you know, truly. I don't, because they're not doing this whole invasion angle where everybody's coming out and beating each other up from each other company week after week. We don't need it to be like that, you know. Progress your storylines for your show and let any kind of, you know, interpromotional action further that storyline for your show and not be too much, be in good taste, and let's have some good back and forth action. Let's let your talent shine on each other's shows and see what another's about, because this is an opportunity for AEW people that frown upon Impact to see that maybe it shouldn't be frowned upon, and people and Impact, because, you know, you got a lot of Impact people that are very stone cold and hard headed as hell too, that won't watch anything but Impact because, you know, they're pissed off about how, you know, Impact's been treated over the years, even though a lot of it's self-inflicted wounds, but still people are pissed. You get mad if anybody talks shit about, you know, something that you're passionate about. It's that simple. So that'll give them the opportunity to see, you know, what AEW is all about as well. So yeah, it works on both ends.
I get that, but I'm still at a loss because, you know, I Don Callis he's probably one of the top five in the modern era of wrestling genius. You know, I put him up there with the Paul Heymans and such. Like I got him up there. But
he's damn, that's what we're talking about. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but the other thing for me, it's a collaboration of styles when you get a guy like Tony Khan in AEW who's booking. And to be honest, from my opinion, from what I've been watching from AEW for the past year or so, it's like you're booking a fanboy who's playing with Legos. It's just, he's telling his own story that doesn't make sense, where you get a guy like Don Callis who's he's a genius in the wrestling game. So how could it, are you booking for the both, or are you just booking for the one angle? Like, what do you think is the whole storyline for this? Because even so, although you're sitting there talking about AEW and Impact, but you also got to come into consideration that Bullet Club angle goes further than that. It goes into New Japan.
Absolutely. And Don Callis is a part of that behind the scenes.
Yeah, but still, like, how is it that you're still are you booking for the long run, or do you think that they're...
I think it is long-term booking. You know, in kayfabe, Don Callis says this has been in the works for the longest time. I believe... You know, and outside of what we see on TV, I believe that to a degree. I don't know if it's been years down the line, anything like that, but I do believe this is something that has been, because me and Mike talked about this. We talked about it strong. If you just think about everything that he said on Impact, no, it was on AEW when he spoke about, you know, how, yeah, it was on AEW. What was the Impact when he spoke about how, you know, this has been the worst? You think he just came to be a commentator for New Japan? He's been had this when he came to Impact. This was in the works and all this old good stuff. I can believe that, you know, because think about the path that he's taken from New Japan and what he's done, and he's gotten his hands and everything for booking Jericho and Omega in booking some of the best matches that New Japan has ever seen, right. and making something, you know, lots of things in the wrestling world happen. So it makes me feel like maybe he is actually telling the truth, and this is not just a character thing. I think Don Callis has actually had his hand in the pot. And this has been the worst for a long time with the Bucks, with Tony Khan and others. So I think this is big time, long term storytelling. And I think there may be some kind of big splash in the end that just, you know, surprises in the wrestling world as a whole. Because this is a big risk that's been taken.
What, oh no, definitely. Hell yeah.
Come together? What major companies have come together like this to work together? When's the last time or the first time that's happened? I'm trying to deal. WCW didn't do it. WWF has never fucking done it. You know what I'm saying? Since it had, last time it happened, it's the territories when everything, but that was basically all indie. That's all indie, you know, for what we would call indie today. You know what I mean? There's no major companies that have done anything like it. So, yes, there's a huge risk that you take. So why would it not be long-term if you want to take such a huge fucking risk? Yeah, especially like you said with AEW possibly taking on all the negative that Impact had in the past.
But you know, I always said the benefit, you know, you got to look at what the benefit that comes out of this. And AEW is the one that's going to sit there and probably take the biggest loss out of this. They will be the biggest loss.
They got the biggest risk. Impact really doesn't have anything to lose in this thing.
Right.
Just being honest.
No. My whole big thing with all this is the only connection that I would like to see with New Japan is the fact that I want to see Kenta be the one that goes after Moxley. That's the only connection that I really care with the New Japan thing that right now.
But, I wonder about that.
Huh?
I wonder about that too, because you know AEW's trying to get in a partnership with them, and Impact is in a partnership with.
Well, remember the talk now is that New Japan is coming to the States on the network soon again. They're not on that. They're not going to be on Access anymore. They're going to have another network. They haven't announced what it is. So, what bigger way to do that to have Kenta invade AEW?
Right, to go after Moxley.
Weeks ago, I think he was the one that attacked Moxley, quote unquote, that way. But going back to Impact, although you're having this correlation happening with the different promotions, you're also losing guys. You got a big guy like Ethan Page that's out the door. And that hurts. He's probably one of the hottest prospects, if not the hottest prospect leaving and going into free agency. How does that look for Impact right now?
I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't look good, especially with him trying to trash Impact. With the whole editing video thing, I'm gonna be honest. I believe Ethan. I just do. I think they told a lie to him. You know, what I mean, the editor did they wanted to because they're pissed off that he left. Right. Which is something that I talked about. Impact, you got to be ready to pay people money when they get buzz and other companies are wanting to go get them. They're coming with their pocketbooks open, or their checkbooks, or whatever the fuck, their banks, or their brunch truck. Do you think AEW or WWE are coming at a talent that they really want, with, you know, and going to lowball them? So Impact has to do better on that. I mean, yeah, you did make them into a star. I give you that. Impact's been doing that for a long time, but you got to follow up. You have to fucking follow up. You know what I mean? And that's what Impact hasn't been able to
do. It's funny because Oski asked a question. He goes, what if AEW is using this time just to recruit Impact wrestlers?
That's very possible.
And it's been done in the territorial way. It's been done that way.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's very possible because I'm sure there's going to be some Impact guys that are going to go to AEW. Right now, it seems like they all jump to WWE, which has been this story for a long time. But it just seems more like a partnership thing to me. I feel like everybody's on the same page. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of back and forth anyway. I think it's going to be more so the people that are familiar and the bigger stars, because of course the correlations with the Bullet Club, you had to know that the Good Brothers was going to be an AEW TV, and Bullet Club of some sort was going to be Impact TV in some way. They're not going to do stuff like put Fala Ba on AEW. That's not happening. You know what I mean? They're not going to do shit. Caleb with a K, he's not going to be on AEW. The people that you're going to see at AEW possibly are going to be Moose, Sammy Callahan, because, you know, him and Moxley got history together in CCW.
Right.
You'll see maybe shit. You might even see Cardona.
Yeah, you have to have the main eventers. You have to. That's where it's at.
People that are familiar and have history. You know what I'm saying? Of the Knockouts, you're going to put Taya in AEW. You know, if she's still around, right. If she doesn't, which I think she's leaving.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to put Mo Rosemary. You're going to have to put Deanna and all them. Yeah, those are people you're presenting on TV. Most of the people aren't going to be a part of this. That's just simple to plan. All the champions will.
I thought the casual look was when NWA did it, because they knew their situation with COVID. They casually kept their belts still relevant. Billy Corgan knew, was like, let me do a partnership here where we could trade off here. And even if I lost an Eddie Kingston, or even if I lost Rosemary, even if I lost an individual like this, that at the end of the day, I'll get the trade off back. But how do you think it'll work the same way with Impact? I don't think it's different.
It's
going to be different.
NWA wasn't running shows. It's different. Them losing people while they're not running shows is not good in any form or fashion.
No, I'm one of those that I believe that they're going to get it back, and I think they're going to get it back real soon, because
that's what Nick Aldis is saying. There's a report saying that MW Power is coming back soon, but what do they have left though? That's what you got to wonder. They've lost all kinds of talent.
They lost all kind of talent, but it's not still a loss because Serena Deeb still carries their belt.
That's irrelevant.
And I think that the best thing was that AEW has this open door thing where they have, like, what's it said, the territorial thing. But the other problem would be is that how smart are they to keep this going? Because you got to be careful about who's going to take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I mean, point it is to be taken advantage of by both if possible.
Right. And it's one of those, you know, you it's great for wrestling. It's great for the fans.
And that's what I'm hoping. That's what it's about. I'm hoping this is because it's about being great for wrestling, but of course, you know, gotta be more to it.
Right.
Gotta be.
So since I have you there, we're going to do the review of, Hard to Kill. You were, for me, I watched the highlights. Like I said, I got to breeze through a lot of stuff, so you could always cover up for me. And I'm not going to go by match by match. I'm going to just go by order. I'm going to just go for what I had here. Yeah. But we could kick it off with Brian Myers versus Josh Alexander. And I got to tell you, I've always liked Josh Alexander. I thought Josh Alexander was a good wrestler or even better than a lot of people thought he would be. But is he a singles wrestler?
I mean, I've seen him in the indies as a singles wrestler before he came to Impact. So I know that he's a really good singles wrestler. He's a hell of a talent. He can wrestle like shit. There were people that didn't think he translated well into TV, but he certainly has. It just depends on your, you know, how you perceive him. Because if you've seen him on the indies, you know that he could be a singles wrestler, and that he is. If you just start seeing him on Impact, it's going to be kind of hard to grasp right now, especially after losing to Brian Myers. But that was, I think Brian Myers needed that win more than Josh Alexander anyway, you know, because they're both starting their own path at the moment. You know, Josh Alexander's on to even being a singles wrestler, which I feel like he will be in the main event because he's an excellent talent. And he can do big things. So I definitely see 2021 being a great year for him. And Brian Myers, they're definitely you can tell that Impact sees something for him. He needed to win more. So, you know, Josh is coming off, you know, two title runs. One, the second one, very short and lackluster as hell. But right now, it's more so about pushing Brian Myers, which I like what Impact's doing with him. They give him a more serious type of thing. He showing what he can do. You know, you see the size that he has with a closer view of him. And you get more of a feel that Brian Myers is more than just the joke that they made him as Kurt Hawkins. You
know, but the other thing for me with that is, like, I think Alexander needed it more than Myers because Myers knows his role. He has a wrestling school. He's a putover guy. It's like.
Brian Myers has been beating the undercard since he's been Impact, you know, and this was something to elevate him, to try to push him to the next level. And that has to happen. You just can't kind of stall. You can. Impact's done this shit and it's been a bad move. And, you know, all companies have done it, but you don't kind of want to stall that progression that he's having, you know, that momentum that he's having. Alexander doesn't have any momentum after coming off tag team losses and coming off a breakup, you know.
Right.
It was more so a time, in my opinion, to propel Brian Myers when Alexander's already down as it is. You can bring him up maybe next taping or something like that. And it was pre-show anyway. Had you put this on the pay-per-view itself, I can see more so definitely why you feel the way you feel, because right. It definitely looks worse. But it's pre-show, so I can understand the placement of it. And why they put Brian Myers over at that time.
You got Rosemary versus, Rosemary and Crazy C versus Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. Watch this. I thought it was fun. Especially knowing the circumstances of these two tag teams.
Right.
But also I look at it as like, where do we go from here? I mean, is the whole Tennille and Caleb with the K gimmick working or is it not?
I think it works for what it is. You know, if you're into, I like it because it gives Tennille something to do. Because, you know, when she first came to the company, that she was trying to be billed as like this great wrestler, all about me. If you're going to be all about you, to throw Caleb in the K with a K in there and what they're doing, it definitely epitomizes that. It may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I feel like if that's the angle you want to say all about me, definitely throw something in there like that. I don't know where they go from here because I don't expect them to do big things when it comes to winning matches anyway. They're more or something to laugh at, something to like, to, they're more of a character thing than a wrestling match. This is more so to show that the K is back. And then, like you said, it was a fun match. And Rosemary sold the shit out of that super kick by Caleb.
Beautiful.
That shit was beautiful.
And for me, knowing what Crazy Steve's handicap is, the way he works in a ring now, I appreciate him more.
Absolutely. And I'm glad he, that, you know, they needed to turn him away from that being a clown with the monkey type. But anyway, he was definitely fits better as the crazy Dark Decay character. And I believe they're probably going to bring a third of Decay. I think this is something just to show Decay is back. They're elevating them again. And I'm pretty fucking sure this is not something anyone told me or anything like that. It's just from, you know, being a wrestling fan for so long and the knowledge that I have. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a third member of the case showing up sometime soon.
That's interesting. I like to see that happening. Old school rules match with EY, Joe Doring, Cody Deaner, and
by design.
Really? I'm like,
And you know, as long as they got a name, I was wondering because I was on Twitter during the show. And right before the match come on, I was tweeting. By the way, Impact Wrestling Nation on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? At Impact W Nation. Anyway, I was tweeting, should you know, Joe Doering, EY, and Dina come up with a name for their faction. And as I'm tweeting it, as I'm about to hit send, they come out and they have a name.
So like, I love the name, though. Violent by Design. Yeah. Great.
I like it.
I love it. I love it.
It's beautiful, and it personifies what they're doing. You know, the world is ours, and the world, of course, you take over the world by violence. You take over shit.
I love it. I love it.
I love it. It's great. And you want to brand something. You don't want to have a faction and continue to just call them by their three names. You got to brand that shit. You got to. You just got to. So that was cool.
I can hear EY going, you know what we should be? You know, I was thinking about it. We should be something that's out there. Maybe something, you know what? We're out there crazy. It's just Violent by Design. You know what? That's what it is. We're Violent by Design.
The world isn't yours.
I mean, it fits. It fits perfectly. I love the name. And that's a faction that I will buy that shirt. I will get that shirt.
Absolutely. I've been behind the faction just even before Dina got there. I really, really enjoy what they're doing with Eric Young and Joe Doering. You know, people don't know who the fuck Joe Doering is. I barely knew who he was. You know, I remember he made a couple of appearances in TNA way back.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, didn't know he was Triple Crown champion in All Japan. So I'm like, what are they going to do with this guy? And I mean, you can't go wrong with letting somebody talk and be the voice of a big ass. Freaking dominating, dumb, steroid old type dude. You can't go wrong with that. You got a monster, and you got a dude that is manipulative. You got a dude that is cerebral, and it always goes right. When has it gone wrong? I can't think when that shit has gone wrong.
And plus, right now, a faction like that for Impact, because they really are on the, you know, they're on a they're on a ledge of getting some heel villain faction. This can work.
Yeah, it can work.
It can work. You know you gotta gravitate to it. And finally they brought it together with that. You get the knockout. You get the knockouts tag title tournament final. You get Kira Hogan, Tasha Steele versus Havoc and Nevaeh. And I gotta tell you, I was skeptical, heavy about this match, because not only is it a women's match, but it was also a women's tag match, which I love tag matches. But I gotta say, Hogan and fucking Steels, they fucking worked, and Havoc and Nevaeh put them over big, man.
They've been putting that's the three matches they put them over too.
Yeah,
great. The tag team division looks good. Like, Hogan and Steels have been the shining stars of that division, so they totally 100% deserve those titles, especially Kiera Hogan, the work she's been putting in and being patient throughout the whole time in Impact. And Tasha Steels has just been fire. She's just entertaining. She's been entertaining since she's come to Impact. Impact got a great steal from NWA with Tasha Steels, like, big time. NWA wasn't doing anything with her. They weren't doing anything with her character-wise. She was just there to take losses to other people to get them over. And Impact has done great things with Tasha Steelz. I think she's been taking the biggest leap than anyone that's coming to the company in the last year.
I was very skeptical of her. I've seen her in indie shows in New York City. I watched her and I was like, I don't get it. I've seen her in certain matches with a lot of the female wrestlers. I'm like, okay. But
nobody gave her anything.
I didn't see it. And then when she started getting the call-ups with the NWA, and I was like, oh, okay, now with Impact? I said, man, you know, maybe I missed it, but I still got her contact number. I should get her for a fucking interview soon.
Let me be on it. Yeah, I still got her contact.
Maybe I got to hit her up. I remember I told her one night at an indie show, I said, you look like somebody's auntie. She was like, wow, really? then we had a surprise pop up. We had Matt Cardona and Ace Austin. What's your thought about where that came from?
I'm gonna be honest. I was like one of those people that didn't want Matt Cardona in Impact because I felt like don't take the scraps of everybody that don't want that don't want Matt Cardona. Mm. Don't do that. You know, I don't really feel like Matt Cardona brings anything to anyone's company. I mean, when he was that writer. Yeah, he had a great cult following, But like AEW, they had a five match deal or whatever, and they didn't re-sign him. I didn't want Impact to just be like, oh, okay, he's available. Let's see what it. But you know, he has a signing contract. They might be doing the same that AEW is doing too. If he works for the company, that's one thing. But don't sign him just because he was known as Zack Ryder in WWE.
Right.
So let's see where it goes. Of course, it's not a one-off because he's not gonna come for a one-off and get DQ'd and then never show up in Impact again. I'm sure that he's going to have something going on with Ace Austin, which is another thing I like. The X Cup meant something. It wasn't just, I win it and that's it, like it was with Desmond and Xavier, which is the dumbest shit in the world. Why have a tournament for a cup and it means nothing? So at least, you know, he tried to use it to say that, am I not the number one contender, Ace Austin, I mean? Am I not the number one contender? You know what I mean? And Ace Austin needed to be on the show because he's just great. For one thing, and he hasn't been on Impact TV for a long time. So they found a way to get him on the show and also get Cardona on the show so I could respect how that was done and also giving the hint that Cardona would be back. If they use him right, which I think Impact can use him right, because, you know, Impact has a knack for making somebody that may not be the biggest star somewhere be bigger than what they had prior been. And then, of course, Matt Cardona actually has the size of a heavyweight contender, too. You don't know that when he's playing Zack Ryder WWE because, you know, you got a further camera, bigger ring and shit like that. You don't know that the man is actually
to me. I would have said if you would have brought him in, I would have said anybody but Ace Austin. Don't. You could have had
because you don't want Ace Austin the job.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's anybody but him. You know what I'm saying? If he would have got over with somebody else and then Ace Austin came out as to, you know, to prolong their little story would have been cool, but don't put him over Ace Austin. I mean, not the way it is now.
That's where the DQ came from.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think it's silly. X Division Championship match, Matic versus, Raju and Chris Bay in a three-way. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the finish. I'm not a fan of how this happened.
I'm not a fan of the finish either, but the rest of the match was fantastic.
Yeah, the finish was horrible.
Because you have all the things that happened in the match. Why is it that a roll-up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The pin. It's like there was a whole lot of action in this match, people.
Yeah.
Lots of good action. A lot of it was believable, some of it wasn't, especially the pin, especially the ending. It's just totally not believable after all that transpired in this match.
Right.
Not taking away from the match was great, but for the pin, the ending that happened the way it happened, that means the match should have ended 10 minutes prior then.
And, it's once again, it always puts me to a level to where I'm watching Impact. It's like, am I watching wrestling or am I watching a fucking, am I watching a comic book? What am I doing? When it comes to the whole Manic gimmick, or what we do,
I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, we go on to the Knockouts Championship match between Deonna Purrazzo and Tyler Valkyrie, and I gotta tell you, if this is her swan song, then this is the way she has to go out.
I think it was.
Yeah, it is.
Especially the way the commentators were speaking, what is she going to do next? You know, they were speaking as if that was the last time she's going to be in the Impact ring.
And not only that, if she's going to go to WWE, that's the perfect place for her to go to right now.
AEW isn't. I agree with you on that. It was an incredible match, though. It was definitely elevated Deonna. I mean, Deonna's just great anyway. Like, she's been the shining star. She can wrestle. She can souls wise. She can call herself, you know, the best female technical wrestler. She steps up to that plate for sure. I would definitely want to see what's going to go forward with Deonna and who's going to step up to her.
I'm hoping that she pops up at the Royal Rumble. I'm really hoping that for the Women's Royal Rumble that she gets that number. It's about time. Her and her husband got to get that money, and I'm not mad at it. Even if they book her terribly, it's about that time to get that money. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, there's not left for the joint Impact anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Even the AEW, it's a step down if you went to AEW right now.
Yeah, you should go to WWE, you get that bread. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and not even fucking NXT bullshit. No, get that fucking main roster money. Get that.
They better the fuck not put it send on the NXT.
We talked about it maybe a little bit, but Karate Man and Ethan Page. What the fuck was this?
Man, that shit was hot garbage inside of a volcano.
Why are we doing this? Why?
That was the shit on Ethan Page.
Really? Just because he was leaving, right? The hottest free agent. And you could have at least tagged on to say, yeah, you know what? We made him for what he is. Go get that money, bro. Like, and this how you shit on him? It's not like they sat there and was like, putting him in line for main event title runs. They really didn't. They just had him in.
I mean, if that's your lane and you're the best at that lane, I mean, it's basically the same thing. I mean, because right. North was in PWI, the number three tag team in the world, not just in Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So so that means you definitely made a star out of this man. So it's just. Yeah, the shit on him like that, that's fucked up. You know, you should have paid him, and you still have the number three tag team in the world right now.
Yeah, listen, they want a tag team they want a tabby from us. They want they want that.
I listened to the tabbies. They want that guy.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I thought it was a shitty way to put him out. It's just like, come on, guys. And as much as people will sit there and say that Impact looks out for their peoples, but. They fucked them over. They really did, man. They really did.
Yeah, in that case, they did them bad. I mean, it's their word against his, but I truly believe that they shit on
them. Next up is the Eddie Edwards versus Sami Callihan, and I gotta tell you, I've been done with Eddie Edwards. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't know.
They fail, and they keep trying different things, but I'm not get it because he's been like the most loyal to the company, so they're gonna always keep him in the main.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, what else would it be? Character work isn't great. You know what I mean? His wife character work is trash. What else could it be? Loyalty is what's keeping him in the main event. See, and he can wrestle. You got to give him that. He can wrestle. So I'm not big on gimmicky matches like, Full Metal Mayhems and all that kind of shit. You know, I'm kind of old school. You know what I mean? Not completely, because I do like a lot of new school stuff too. But this was done well. You know, it was believable. You know what I mean? It just wasn't a big old super bloodbath, which, like things like to get sometimes before wrestling. It was a good match. You know what I mean? And Eddie's supposed to have gotten the win because, to kind of like end the feud, over time. I like the way that they didn't just push the feud for two straight years. They came back to it. I think it was done well. It wasn't my favorite match, but it wasn't a bad match either. So,
The other thing too is that are we done with Sammy as well? Like,
I think they're done with Sammy and Eddie. And I feel you when it comes to Sammy individually because they keep trying to change Sammy, but it's still the same Sammy. But Sammy, he's the draw, and he's a good heel that you can always put in a match to either get someone over. Or you can find a time to elevate him as well. Sammy can always put someone over well because he's going to give it his all and he's going to be that complete heel to where you hate him so much to where that person that does get over, he did a good job of doing that and that person is elevated. Because Sammy can beat the world champion as that loses all the time.
The only thing that I can look forward to with this AEW and Impact collaboration is I would love to see Sammy and Moxley in a hardcore kind of. That's the only thing I would really give a fuck about with this.
Sammy comes to help John Moxley when Bullet Club inevitably jumps him again.
That's the only collaboration that I would really give a fuck about. Like I could be.
You get on my nerves, Jay.
Huh?
Be excited. You get on my nerves. Be excited like me.
and if I contradict myself later on, call me out on it. I would say the only thing I would say is that either Sammy and Moxley get together to go against this, or that they face each other one way along the line, and I'm good with it. I'm fine with that.
I see more so the angle of them getting together because of the whole, you know, Bullet Club angle being an impact in AEW. I see that will happen before they have to wrestle each other, because there's no way that you could just go from that storyline straight into, oh, I'm going to fight Callahan. You got to deal with the Bullet Club first.
Right. So. And then finally we go with Mega Anderson Gallows versus Rich Swann, Saban, and Moose. And it was like, can we not predict what the fuck was going to be the outcome of this shit?
I mean, everybody knew who was going to win. I mean, there was no doubt that Kenny Omega was in the Good Brothers going to win that match. But it was a damn good match, and the Moose was the shining star. Moose has looked great. He has lost 20 pounds. He got like a little shiny little 8-pack. It ain't like the biggest one, but he's slimmed down. He's getting the gym. He did a fucking Spanish fly on Kenny Omega, man. And he did a standing backflip flash. Like, get out of here, man.
Was this not the showcase of the new Moose?
Yeah, absolutely. It was to show the world of the new Moose. Well, they presented Moose to the world to the wide world of wrestling, and presented the new Moose to Impact Wrestling. Moose is going to be the torchbearer for Impact in this whole thing, guaranteed. He needs to beat Rich Swann for that title and be the person that wrestles Kenny Omega. He already teased talking about he's going to win it from Rich Swann and then go take Kenny Omega's AEW title. I think if there was any wrestling Impact that they could believe that would happen, which I don't believe would happen, you know what I mean? But if it were to happen, it could be believable. There's no other talent. I'm sorry to say this, as much as I love my Impact, there's no other talent in Impact that I could see that you can build up enough to believably beat Kenny Omega for the AEW championship.
And that ties it up like a bow, because honestly, I'm skeptical about how this AEW Impact connection could go. I love the whole. My whole idea is I love like the territorial thing to come back again, but I don't know, man. It's just.
You gotta give it time, bro.
I think that's what it is. I have to give it time, but it's still skeptical when it comes to that. But
well, it's because of Impact. That's what makes you skeptical about it. I know, I get it, and that's what makes a lot of people skeptical about it.
And I for me, it's like who wins, and is it?
I don't think anyone's trying to win. I think it's just one of those things to where.
No, because at the end of the day, they all want to sit there and they want to go against the throne, which is WWE, and it's just like, no, just do your thing. But
I think it's part of the thing. As long as I say, if it's in good done in good taste, to where they don't have this whole full blown invasion thing, it kind of is the thing. Because like I said, like I spoke before, Kenny Omega had a tag match with the Good Brothers on AEW TV, but all it did was progress AEW story.
Right.
As well as Omega being on Impact. So it's their thing is still being done as long as they don't overdo shit.
Right.
You know, and it could be some really good stuff.
Right. So Brody, let everybody know where to get you guys at and where they can find you how to follow up and do it.
Impact Brody. We got Impact Wrestling Nation on Facebook and Twitter, on @ImpactWNation on Twitter, and on Facebook, of course, Impact Wrestling Nation. And then we've gotten bigger numbers. Then, of course, we got AEW Nation on Facebook. We got lots of members. That bitch stays live, of course, because AEW is pretty live right now. It's popular as hell. And people get a little raunchy there, but, you know, I take care of things and whatnot.
Shit happens.
It happens. Let me give you that handle for Twitter right quick. And because I don't want to say the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. That'd be stupid. And AEW Nation @AEW on TSN. You feel me? AEW Nation.
Hey, do me a favor. When I put this shit up, share this shit, man. Let everybody know that you can listen to this.
Yeah, share it now, and I'll share it again. Please believe me. I'm going to make sure.
And share it because the downloads and streams is what we get at right over here. We don't do we don't really fucking strive on the YouTubes. Facebook Live is cool money and whatever the case may be, but we strive on the downloads and the streams on a podcast, man. That's what we do.
What we're going to have to do, you know, to keep people when Impact Page is interesting.
Especially when they're driving around, they be like, they want to hear Impact Brody talking shit about that. They could do it in their cars or when they fucking, I guess, playing video games. They do what they do. But
right, just listen to them while you're doing whatever in your car playing games.
Exactly. That's what we strive for here in Turbo Tablet. But what, as always, right, thank you, Impact Brody, for checking in. And I'm going to make sure to hit you up more, because with this AEW and Impact collaboration that's happening, we're gonna collab more here. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. Matter of fact, no, we're done here. So this is where we I give you a mwah, and I tell you guys, take a bump and wear a mask, wash your ass, clean your face, and whatever the fuck it is that you do, and we out of here. Later. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1. Turnbuckle Tabloid.